are kind of just here in the summer doldrums, and it's easy to coast, it's easy to glide, it's easy to really, you know, put things aside. But I'd like for you to focus on the Word of God, not think about anyone else. You know, within reason. Don't think about who's not sitting beside you, who is sitting beside you. Don't think about the things you have to worry about, the pork chops you have to cook tonight, or whatever it might be that you have to do, the job you have to go to. But hear what the Word of God says. I believe that the Word of God, revealed as it is what the Lord wants us to take and to have those. You know, the faith comes by hearing, and have that Word built in us so that it starts to continues to mold us into that perfect, remember last week, the perfect, having the perfect heart, and the person who pursues God with all vigor. Before we read those passages, a group of thieves broke into a jewelry store one time, and they got into the store, and they didn't steal anything, but they switched the price tag. And so the next morning they came in, and people were confused because did the cheap stuff have the right price tag or the expensive stuff? You know? And there are ways of figuring it out because you can get, you know, diamonds and you can do tests and you can test pearls and so forth. But from looking at it, sometimes you can't tell the real from the fake. Jesus even talked in the New Testament about wheats and tares. And sometimes you see one thing and it looks like another. And somebody wrote a book, and I can't remember who wrote the book, but it was a great title. It said, "Who Switched the Price Tags?" And sometimes in life we feel like that somebody switched the price tags and they didn't tell me. It's like, I didn't know that almonds had gotten to be so popular. Have you bought almonds lately? Yeah, it's like buying beef. Yeah. And, you know, every now and then you go to buy something. Buy incandescent light bulbs. And by the way, if you want to buy some, you better buy some cheap quickly because, you know, there's only a certain amount left and they're decreasing. And the prices of incandescent light bulbs are going up quite dramatically. Well, what is the price tag that we pay when we do not seek God? Now, let's read these verses together. The word seek, like I said, 250 to 300 times in variation in Scripture. It's a big word. All, you know, Christy, you had a psalm up there, seek, seek, seek. So somebody read for me 2 Chronicles 7:14. Tracy, do you have that?
Yeah. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
A great verse. We've heard that verse. We pull it out on the 4th of July. We really get a hold of that verse. A great verse. If you seek my face, you know, if you humble yourself and seek my face, then, T-H-E-N, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I love if-then statements. Do you remember doing if-then statements? If that, then. If then. Okay, the second passage is Matthew 6:33. I know we know it, but let's listen to it together.
But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
But seek first his kingdom, and can we use the word then? Then all these things will be added unto you. Last one, Hebrews 11:6. Denise. Let's change the wording around. If you earnestly seek God, what does He do? He rewards you. So seek is a big word. You know, if you seek God, something good's going to happen. We sometimes, we in Christian circles, we put so much focus on the outcome that we forget about the right here in the middle. Where are we with God? And I share with people a lot of times, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so according to Scripture. You know, I say I'm not concerned about somebody being the right, doing the right thing. If they're be the right person, you will eventually do the right thing. One thing follows another. Or as James says, your works will follow your faith. So let's mention some things here. Now, what do we seek? We seek, in the Old Testament, it talked about seeking the face of God. Now, when you say seek the face of God, you hear the word seek, does that imply something is misplaced? Can, can. In this way, it's not misplaced because God isn't lost, right? You know, you hear people go out to find themselves or to find God. Well, you know, we've always laughed at that phrase, to find God. At the same time, Paul talks about veiled, because we don't see God clearly, because we're born into a sin world and we're born into the natural world. And so naturally, we can't see God. So we have to go and seek the face of God, seek to pursue the presence of the Lord. In the New Testament, Jesus uses the word seek again, but instead of saying seek the face of, he says seek the kingdom of. So we seek the face of God is the same as seeking the kingdom of God. We seek his presence, and after we seek his presence, we seek to do his will. Seeking his face is his presence. Seeking his kingdom is part of doing his will. So what kind of seeking or what kind of kingdom is this? It's a kingdom that implies that there is a king. We don't understand kingdoms here because we elect people. Now, sometimes people set up for themselves kingdoms, right? They have kingdoms and, you know, they're a lord of the manor and so forth. But it implies that there is a sovereign over us. I seek the kingdom, and if I seek the kingdom, there must be a sovereign over that kingdom. And the sovereign is not Christy, it's not Tracy, it's not Andy. The sovereign is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I seek his kingdom. Second, entrance into his kingdom is by new birth. We hear the phrase born again, come to Christ, become a Christian, whatever you want to call it. We enter the kingdom of God. We become citizens there by the new birth. A third thing, the kingdom is not eating or drinking, but rather righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. We, in our own dominions, we classify things according to their value. You know, a piece of filet mignon has a value here, right? A hamburger has a different value. You go to a restaurant and you find out the values real quickly. Go to an antique store and you find out the values quickly. My mother made me, or Chris, somebody made me throw away a manual typewriter somewhere in the last 10 years. And mother found a manual typewriter yesterday that was worth how much?
Online,
$18,000. So, you know, I have a new car that, well, that's true. Mine wasn't like that, I get that. But it was worth something. And value is just what somebody will pay you for that, right? So we put a value on things. Last night they had the induction ceremony for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Did you want anybody see any of that?
Saw straight hand.
Yes, saw straight hand. Good thing you missed it all because they talked long and most of them said little. And sometimes you can see how football was it for them. And some people not. You see how they praise the Lord and so forth, but our family's displaced. But it's interesting to hear the people talk. And there is value put on things. In society, we put value on things that we might not should put value on. So I say the kingdom of God is not what Hollywood says it is. It's not what the political system says it is. It's not even what the grocery store says it is. The kingdom of God is more than that. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. Those things won't go away. Beauty fades. Hadn't faded for me yet, but beauty fades, right? Things change. Jesus came to make our righteousness, our filthy rags, turning it into righteousness. The Bible says in Romans 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. So there's an interesting thing. You cannot seek God in and of yourself. God pulls us to himself and then we start to seek him. James Merritt says it this way in the book, Crown Him King. We have not been called to perform for our King, but to be transformed into conduits of his purity and holiness. I want you to hear that. I want to read it again. And if you don't hear anything else, hear this. We have not been called. Man, people need to be released to perform. We have not been called to be a puppet on a string. We have been called to be in relationship with God and to be conduits for his purity and holiness. If you look in the book of Acts chapter 2, it said the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love that verse. They were the right people, therefore they did the right stuff, and God added. God has a responsibility, and sometimes we try to take over that responsibility. The kingdom of God is Jesus is on the throne, not me. Number four, the kingdom is a future kingdom as well as a present kingdom. You know, I seek his face. I seek his presence with me now. But I also seek a time to be in his presence. We were talking about that just a few minutes before church. Bill and I talking about people who've gone on. They've crossed the river. And we look forward to gathering again one day. But therefore, we must really say that the definition for the kingdom of God is simple. It is where God is. And if God is in you, then you're a kingdom person. So what should we do? We should seek the glory of God. Now, I don't know if you've ever, you know, gone through catechisms and so forth, but when you do, it talks about the chief end of man. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God. So we seek the glory of God. And we're going to get to some practical examples of this in just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat, wherever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do everything to God's glory. Seeking the kingdom means I want to seek to do all according to his glory. I want to dress according to his glory. I want to eat according to his glory. I want to conduct my affairs according to his glory. I want to bring glory to the Lord when I'm at the line getting the car tag. I want to bring glory to the Lord when I'm on the field officiating a football game. I want to bring glory to God as I'm painting the house. I want to bring glory to God when I think about what I'm going to do when I'm in the grocery store. I want to bring glory to God when I pull out my checkbook. I want God to be represented in each and every area of my life. Can you get a hold of that? Can you believe that God wants us to do that? So to seek to bring glory to the sovereign of the kingdom. Second thing here. We need to seek not only to bring glory to God, but seek his direction. Now, the younger you are, the more you struggle at times with God's will for my life. You know, we used to read this four spiritual law. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, that's a big word. What is that plan? And sometimes we struggle with that so much. What to do? We look at the big picture of what to do. We miss the walking daily with God part. When we are in the act of seeking his direction for our lives, we are seeking his kingdom. Let me give you a verse. I know you know the verse. I'm going to say it anyway. Proverbs 3. 5 and 6, what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, or maybe we can even say your own seeking, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Or I remember we used to sing the little kid song, he will make your path straight, you know? It's a great, great, great line there. So what am I to do? I don't trust in my own understanding, my own wisdom. I acknowledge him in all ways, and my paths will be set before me. And if I could tell young people any one thing, I said, what do you do? Well, don't trust in yourself. Acknowledge God in all ways, and it's amazing how he will direct your paths. The truth is, sometimes we're just mad at God for the path we're on. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this age. Don't go by the value system of this age. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to discern what the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God is. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask for God, who gives generously to all without criticizing. Does it really say that? Yeah. Seek the direction of the Lord. A third thing we seek. We seek the supervision of the king. Now, we're talking about being a nanny, you know. Can be great. But sometimes you have supervision issues. Maybe you are put in charge of supervising people. It may be co-workers. It may be children. Or you may say, I've never been put in charge of supervising anything. I barely supervise the remote control. And in my house, I hadn't seen the remote in 3 years. Not really, but it's a good thing. Because sometimes you don't supervise. So we seek supervision of the king. Lord, I don't want to hide from you. I want to be in full sight of you. Lord, there are things you know about me that my wife does not know, and I want to be open and honest with you. I want your supervision. I want to come to the dinner table, and I want you to look deep into my hearts and know me. Most people really want to hide from God. They're like Adam and Eve, hiding. And God is saying, why are you hiding? And we, as the men and women of God, should not hide from God no matter what happened yesterday. No matter what we do, we should not hide from the Lord. We seek the presence and the supervision of God. There was a man on vacation in Acapulco, and he was there, and all of a sudden there was a little kid who was in distress, and their mother was screaming out, and the man understood enough Spanish so that he knew the kid had swallowed a coin. So he picked the kid up and gave it this, and an American coin came out of his mouth onto the ground. And the mother was so touched, and she said, you must be a doctor. He said, no, I'm from the IRS. And you know how that is, shaking the last thing. So here are some practical things. I mean, rubber meets the road issues. Some ways that we need to seek God's presence in our life. Seek the kingdom of God. Do not compromise. And we could add areas, but I want to mention a few. We seek and we have kingdom consideration with our financial resources. Jesus talked about in Matthew 6, you know, he didn't get to Matthew 6:33 without going through something. And on the way to Matthew 6:33, he talked about the treasure of your heart. And where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What you spend money on really is indicative of what you value. Where you put your resources says a great deal about the things you love. And, you know, I would be at times aghast if people could see into my heart and find out things I really love that I might not should love as much as I do. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19 and on, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And verse 21 really emphasizes that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So I say this, we need to seek the face of God concerning all of our resources. Everything we have, all of our resources, and maybe even drop the ownership mentality of our life a little bit. You know, I heard that story that I've told before, and it's told in a different fashion. I'll tell it quickly. A lady bought a Coke and a bag of chips at the airport. She sat down to eat her Coke and a bag of chips while she's waiting on her flight, and there's a seat in between, and she would drink her Coke and reach over and get a chip, and the man in the next seat would reach over and get a chip out of the bag. And she was like, oh my, how audacious is that, you know? And she'd reach and get a chip, and it went on, and she was just really, you know, how, you know, this man is stealing my chips. And at the end of the time, there was one chip left, and he took the bag, and he straightened it out and offered her the last chip. And she was, you know, how, you know, he's offering me my last chip. Well, you know the end of the story. Man got up and left. She got ready to go on her flight. And when she did, she picked her bag and noticed the bag of chips she bought was still in the bag, or her carry-on. I've done that kind of thing before. Ownership. Ownership. What if somebody bothers something of yours? Now, I'm not talking about it in an illegal way. But what if they bother something of yours? What does it do to you? I remember my dad was, he didn't have a workshop or anything like that. We didn't have tools like some men have tools. I mean, they have tools, you know, all spread out and shined and in their proper place. But we would get stuff and I would, you know, get a hammer and it'd be time for the hammer. You ever have this around your house? Where's the hammer? It was a three-day event. Where is the hammer, you know? Well, I'm the one misplacing stuff now, but you know how some people are particular. Don't touch my stuff. That can be an issue of the heart as well. Number two, we need to seek God's presence. We need to seek His kingdom in knowing about our time and attention. What do we give time and attention to? We had a great discussion the other day. We were riding along and we were talking about Nielsen ratings. Don't ask me how that came up. Have any of you ever kept the Nielsen book in your house? We did. Did you write the stuff down?
No, we actually had to scan our groceries.
We did. Oh, really? Well, see, that you can't really cheat on that too much, you know, because you scan the groceries. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what happened? That's right. I'm not scanning the donuts, you know. But what happened was, when I was a senior in college, we had this market research thing, and some graduate student did it, and I had to participate as part of a class assignment. And I carried bags of chips to people's houses, and I would place them up on the counter, and they would choose the bag of chips, and, you know, we would change prices, and it was all about branding and packaging and so forth. And, I mean, and the people signed up to participate in this survey. Well, the first time I went, it was all fun and games. You know, the second time, it was like, now, why are you back? You know? And by the time the third time came along, you know, it was like, you know, why do you keep bringing these potato chips to my house? And it was like, yeah, no, you signed up for this. And it was no fun. And I told Chrissy, I said, so by the end of the term, what you generally did was just make up stuff. And I hate to admit that, but that's what you did. So anytime you see a survey, you might wonder, did the people just make up stuff? And we started talking about Nielsen ratings. If you get the book in your house, you sometimes might think, okay, I want to put down what I want them to think about me more than what I actually do. Or you might decide, I want to project myself differently than I really am in life. And sometimes we might need to take a real hard look at where our time and attention is laid. Do we seek the kingdom of God with our time and attention, because we only have so much of it here? Number three, we need to seek the face of God concerning talents and learned skills. Not just spiritual gifts, but talents and learned skills. You know, we all have talents. I mean, I'm picking on Jacob today, so I'll keep picking on him. You know, every now and then I'll be somewhere, I hear him playing the piano, and I say, okay, I can't do that. Mainly because I didn't practice, but also don't have the ear for it. There's a talent there. There are skills that we have. Some of us can put together, and most people won't even see this, but you know, to miter a corner takes skill. To weld a bead takes really great skill. I can't do it. We all have different talents and skills. Do we seek the presence of God on how to use those? There are two medical students at the University of Michigan. They had finished their classes one day back in 1883. Getting ready to receive their medical degrees and talking about what they would do with their lives, and one buddy looked at the other and he said, Will, he said, why don't you come to New York City with me? Because when you get to New York City, we'll make a great team, wealthy people there, all kind of operations. You know, we can go there, we can practice medicine, we will get in with the right crowd, and we can really make something of ourselves. And Will looked back and said, Ben, I'm sorry, I just don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to stick here in the Midwest because there are some small towns that really need great medical service. And Ben said, Will, you're a fool. The Midwest is a cheap place to study medicine, cheap place to practice medicine. You won't get paid much. The people are bringing you eggs and chickens for payment. It's just not going to work out. Go to New York City with me. And finally, Will says, no, you make a great picture, but I'm going to stay here in the Midwest. As a matter of fact, I'm going to Rochester, Minnesota, back where my dad is, and I'm going to open up a medical practice there. And we're going to service all the small towns in the area. And so Will did that. And Will Mayo founded the Mayo Clinic. And soon all the rich people from the east were coming to a little town in Minnesota to get specialized treatment. And I say that to say this. We have talents and skills. And sometimes we need to seek God's presence, how to use those. And it looks like he's putting us out in the middle of nowhere to use them. But he may be doing something wonderful that we don't see yet. Something big that we have not really seen because we don't see down the road like he does. Number four, we need to seek God's presence on spiritual and emotional energy, because it takes spiritual and emotional energy to care about others. We have enough cares of our own. Maybe one thing we need to do is trim up some of our own cares. I've been doing a lot of stuff around the house, and I can do some good stuff. But I got into something recently, and I hate to use this term, but you ever heard the term jackleg? And I came in, and I told Christy, I said, okay, I'm ready to do something that I've never done in my life, and she wanted to do in my life. And she said, well, I said, call the man. I want to call somebody. I don't care what it costs. I want to call somebody. You ever get to that point? Yeah. Well, sometimes it takes a lot of energy to care because we have too many cares of our own. And maybe we need to trim up some of the things that we are worried, and I use the word worry not in real anxiety, but we have control over. Say, I want to farm this out so that I can care more for others over here. There was a lady, Alexander Walcott tells this story. She said there was a nurse that found herself consoling a grief-stricken mother in a hospital moments after her child died. And, you know, what to even say to this woman. And she was there, and she said, the only thing is that the Lord kind of impressed upon me to tell this grieving mother what was happening across the hall. And she said, ma'am, she said, Miss Norris, across the hall, there's a little boy standing by the bedside of his mother. And his mother has just died. He's been standing there for days on end, praying over, being with his mom, and she just died. I don't even know what to say to this young boy. Could you help me minister to this boy? And this lady who is crying over the grief of her own son got up, went across the hall, and grasped the little boy into her arms. And you can see where the story's going. She ministered to this now motherless boy and eventually even adopted this boy into her home. Now that's somebody who has issues here, but still has enough emotional strength to care for others at the same time. You won't get worse than that. So do we seek the presence of God? God, I want the emotional energy required to care for other people. Number five, we need to seek God's presence. Seek the kingdom of God with the words that we use. Oh man, words are powerful. We need to have words that express approval and encouragement. I don't mean approval for bad things. You know I don't. But I mean, we need to express things to people. I don't know, you know, I'm not an attention hog or an affirmation hog or anything like that. I don't know about you, but it is a golden thing to me when somebody gives me a word of encouragement. Man, I'll ride for 4 days on that. And I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good day, but I appreciate it. When somebody says, I appreciate you, thank you. Hey, that was good. Whatever it might be. Boy, it just assumed that. Anybody else like that? I love those golden words of encouragement. I love the golden words of hearing my name. You know, I don't know if it's a good name or bad name, but I like when people know my name. Hello, Andy. They know me. It's golden. And I wonder if we seek the presence of God. God, I want my words to be uplifting, powerful words. The word of God, he spoke and things came into being. We have the presence of God in us. When we speak, we can plant life as well. Number six, we need to seek God's face. Seek his presence. Seek his kingdom concerning the grace that personally absorbs the impact of imperfection. Now, last week we talked about Christian perfection of the heart, but you know, that's in the heart, right? But we're imperfect people. And we need to have grace that absorbs imperfection around us. It's not done exactly right. I came in last night and I said, Christy, I apologize. And she said, you don't have to apologize to me. And you know, and it was an apology for not something I had done to her. Just apologize. I messed it up, you know. And she said, you don't have to apologize to me. And I thought, well, you know, she still loves me, even though I can't do the thing I was trying to do. You know, we all get to that place, don't we, where we're a little more limited than we once were. The impact of imperfection absorbed by the grace. Do we seek God's presence? God, in 1 Timothy 1:9, God has saved us and called us to live a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace was given in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But I want to warn you in closing. I want to warn you that there is the striving for the comfortable life that goes counter to the seeking of the presence of God. If you seek an easy chair in life, you will go counter to seeking the presence of God. Because when you seek the presence of God, he sends you out into risk-taking adventures. In Luke chapter 12, it talks about a man who was rich. As a matter of fact, it says, the ground this man owned yielded plentifully. He had so many crops that he said, I'm so rich, I got to build a new barn to keep all my crops. And he was so excited about building a barn to store his stuff. Build a new barn to get more money to increase his bank account. And I say warning number one, when our hearts are focused on ourselves, we do not give God credit for the things he has done. This man did not give God credit. Look at what I have done. I have grown crops. Also in that passage, when our hearts are focused on ourselves, we make plans but leave God out. This man said, I am going to build bigger barns to hold my stuff. I am going to create investment opportunities for myself so that I can get richer. And we leave God out. We also see in this passage, when our hearts are focused on ourselves, we consider spending our resources only on ourselves. He said, I saw you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. There is an attitude in this that is a prevailing attitude. And I see in our society today an attitude of, I got it, I'm going to keep it, and don't you touch it. Now, I'm getting on dangerous territory. I'm not getting political here. But there is a way for a nation to look at things, and there's a way for a Christian to look at things. And there needs to be a remelding of the thought process among Christian people that what I have for you as well as for me. I'm thinking of you as well as I'm thinking of me. Because there is an attitude that I see that is an attitude of, I got it, I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to protect it at all costs. And I'm not sure that that is a totally biblical attitude. Last thing, in this passage where this rich man, God said, fool, this night your life will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? When our hearts are focused on ourselves, we store up treasure in the wrong place, and it will rust and it will destroy. And when we focus on ourselves, we are in conflict with God's plan. So I say this, seek the presence of God. Seek the presence of God. Seek his kingdom with all that you have. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek his face, humble yourselves, pray, and God will hear from you, and he will heal your land and heal your life and heal your relationships and heal your emotions, and he'll get you ready to live with him for eternity. Seek the kingdom of God, and if you earnestly seek it, he will reward you. Praise the name of the Lord. Seek. Seek. Not an empty word. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us in our daily walk to seek the presence of God in all ways, in everything that we touch. When we walk out of this room, when we go to places and drive down the street, Lord, help us to seek the presence of God even while we ride in our car. Help us, Lord, to be about your business at all times. And we will bring glory to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.